Charles, it's so nice to talk to you. Such an honor. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Cameron Meyer?
Cameron Meyer.
Meyer, yeah. Meyer, like flyer. EI in German is the I sound.
That is exactly right.
To IE, which is the E sound, like Riemann, as
yes.
opposed to Riemann or Meyer.
That's exactly right, Mr. Fleischer.
And Cameron, 72, is that the year you were born?
That is the year I was born. So Who Framed Roger Rabbit is kind of iconic for me. I won't say I grew up on the film, but I saw it many, many times when it came out. So it's a great pleasure to get to finally talk to you after all of these years.
Well, thank you, sir. Likewise.
And I can't believe it's been 25 years. What do you owe the success of the film over these years and the sort of iconic stature that it's achieved and maintained?
Well, it was groundbreaking because of its combination of animation and live action. It was directed by Bob Zemeckis, who is a genius and amazing storyteller. And movies are telling stories, and he knows how to tell a great story. And it introduced a new cartoon character, but did it in the 40s, so it seemed like it was real. It just seemed like he'd always been there. And like The Wizard of Oz or other classic films, it just it had passion and heart and something that's perhaps even undefinable, like the Beatles.
I agree. Can you speak to the fact that, in a way, it presents sort of the happy ending to that period in Hollywood that we never really got in real life? In other words, in real life, the golden age of animation did fade, and the freeways were built, and L.A. changed a little bit, but the film gives us the ending that we always really wanted to that era of Hollywood.
That's a very, very beautiful reflection, and I think that it speaks to a certain romantic concept that lives within everybody. But then you also consider that, as one era ends, another one begins. But just taking what you said and putting it into modern context, even though it did end, like right now we're reliving it essentially with the 25th anniversary of the Blu-ray release. So classic things will go forever. Kind of like starlight, you know, even after the star is no longer there, the light continues to move.
That's very true. That's a good metaphor for Roger Rabbit. I know that film lives in everybody's hearts and continues to do that.
But at least everyone that has a heart, replacing time with everything can be as wonderful as ever.
Can you tell me a little bit about the voice of Roger Rabbit? Is that something that you just came up with, or did Bob Zemeckis or Richard Williams work with you on that, or how did that come about?
Originally, I was called in to help audition the actor who was eventually going to play Eddie Valiant, and my first pass at it, before I saw what a character looked like, was kind of a cross between John Huston and Ruth Gordon. And then as I read the script and saw what the character looked like, it evolved into what it was, and they told me they needed a speech impediment, and then the cheek flutter came in. And like the development of anything, it's part magic, part science, part work, part play.
And did you know from the beginning that you were going to do Benny the Cab and a couple of the Weasels, or did that just sort of come about when the film was being cast?
No, that was actually after principal photography had taken place. And the performances that were put down by other actors were not to the satisfaction of Mr. Zemeckis, and he asked me if I would render up something, and I did Psycho and Greasy and Benny the Cab.
Okay. As amazing as your voice performances are in the film, you got to work with someone who is probably the greatest voice talent of all time, Mel Blanc. Did you work directly with Mel Blanc, or how did that work? What was it like having him on the film?
Well, he was never on the set, and most of my work was done on the set in England and a few weeks here in America. So we never had any scenes together, but to be in a film with Mel, and Mel was very, he was more comfortable behind the camera than on screen.
Okay.
And, you know, he used to do stuff on the Jack Benny show, you know, and, you know, that whole bit, see, so, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Mel. And a lot of his characters, the tape of the recording was sped up.
Oh, okay.
Which added another tweak to it, but he certainly was a master. And his son, I think, Noel, did some work in it as well.
Well, I think Mel had to pass on Yosemite Sam, was it? Because it was just too tough on his voice at that point in his career?
I have no information regarding that information situation.
Ah, okay.
But I'll take your word on that one.
Okay. I know you probably get this question a lot, maybe not as much these days, but what about a sequel? Is that something that would be a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it would definitely be a good thing. It'd be a very good thing. And, you know, it could conceivably happen. Just a matter of getting all the elements in the proper configuration.
If it happened, is it something that you would really want to see Robert Zemeckis direct? Would that be, I wouldn't say a requirement for you, but at least for me and a lot of other fans, it would almost have to be a Robert Zemeckis project.
I agree. He just has the vision. He has the passion. He has the ability to utilize technology to tell a story as opposed to just be a whistle and a bell. And I think his involvement would certainly assure that it would be on the same level, if not higher.
What about another short? Is that a possibility?
In my world, my friend, everything is a possibility.
That's a great world to be in, a world of possibilities.
Exactly. That is an impossible thing not to think about.
It is. How closely did you get to work with Richard Williams? I know he won a special Oscar for the project.
He did, and Robin Williams and I presented it at the Academy Awards in 1988.
I was just watching that clip on YouTube yesterday.
Really? Well, the Academy is doing a special presentation for the release of the Blu-ray and for 25 years of Roger Rabbit. And Richard Williams was an extraordinary artist, and I had great times hanging out with him. He also played the cornet, so we both had a love of music and playing musical instruments. And he's just, in fact, there is even a clip after during that Academy Award presentation where they're asking me questions, and I'm promoting his movie The Thief, which was somehow aborted by various production facilities and never reached its final destination. But he was an extraordinary artist. He was an actor with a pencil. I mean, you could see which scenes that he was specifically in charge of. There was a certain fluidity and a certain grace to the movements of Roger that is unique to his skill and style.
If a sequel ever comes about, or perhaps another short, how important is it to have it hand-drawn in this world of digital animation?
Well, even if something is done CGI, hands are still involved. And, you know, there's an evolution. If you were to consider the first renderings done on cave walls with the hand, and then the invention of the pencil and the brush, and caveman saying, you know, you not make art, little hair on brush make art. So, and then going from a pencil to whether you're doing a wireframe model and rendering it, I think it really is more dependent on the soul and passion of the artists involved.
I agree. Charles, can you tell me just briefly about what's going on in your life now other than this? What's going on in your career? What's upcoming for you?
Sure. I'm doing my stand-up all over the place, and perhaps of really greater importance, I am a scientist. I am an inventor. I have a patent on a device that measures the golden ratio, and I've made a discovery regarding a phenomenon called gamma ray bursts. And Cornell University, their website, archive.org, has published it. To get onto the website, you need to be endorsed by a well-published scientist. And the discovery I made concerning the most energetic form of energy in the universe, gamma ray bursts, if I am correct, I have found a mathematical proof that they are not random. The hypothesis from that could be something completely unknown, or my hypothesis is that they represent a form of communication from an ancient and highly advanced life form.
Well, that's fascinating.
It's mind-boggling.
And it is.
If you think about it, it seems obvious that we're not alone, and we send out signals, but they're radio signals. Radio waves is the low end of the electromagnetic spectrum. If you're an advanced being, why send out? You send out gamma. That's the high end. You know, you want to go on a skateboard or a Lexus.
Well, that is fascinating.
If you have any follow-ups, or if you want to get links to my patent or any of the papers that I've written or my TED Talk or any of that, the people at Disney will be more than happy to accommodate you.
Thank you so much. You are a multi-talented individual, sir.
I'm blessed in many ways, and as are you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Fleischer, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks. I look forward to seeing the results of your journalistic endeavor.
Take care. Thank you very much.